Intervju Radija Študent.
Radija Študent, tukaj z vami Božidar in v naslednjih trenutkih jih bomo namenili zasedbi Čak Čak Čak, ki danes igra v kinu Šiška, oziroma natančneje prisluhnite intervjuju z ameriškim bendom Čak Čak Čak, oziroma enim izmed njihovih članov, natančneje Nikom. Band nastopi danes v kinu Šiška, no njihov spoj dance punka, post new wave in še česa jim je v bistvu že pred mnogimi leti nekako zasluženo prinesel oznako najbolj funky klicajčkov na dotični sceni. No, zadnjih dveh, treh albumih so mogoče svoj izraz nekoliko omilali, morda nekoliko spolirali, vendar v osnovi še zmer ostajajo zvesti svojim osnovnim postulatom, to je ustvarjati eksplozivno mešanico plesne z izrazitim groovom nabite žanrsko raznolike muzike. Torej, Čak 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 bi lahko označili za velike uživače v glasbenem poslu, ki se mi bodo v naslednjih minutah pridružili v studiu Radija Študent. Prisluhnite pogovoru z Nikom. Okay, so here in studio, of course, we have started using English language. So in here with me in studio is Nick Offer, a member of Chuk Chuk Chuk.
Hey, hello.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, so I confess I'm a bit ashamed to ask you this question, but it seems as though you can't omit asking you your band this question, as your band is kind of one of the strangest names of the band. And this fame has kind of stuck with you throughout your career. I mean, if I read articles about you anywhere, almost everyone starts with sort of regarding your name. How come that you decided to use this name for your band?
It was just, you know, when we started we just felt like we were making a new kind of music, and we felt like we were different from all the other bands that were happening at that time, so we just wanted something that set us apart. Special. And said that we were different, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it has definitely been that, because I don't feel like most bands have to answer questions about their name 17 years after they've been a band, but
that's why,
but, you know, that's what you get, you know. So it's fine.
But okay, maybe it's got something to do with also with your, like, this graphical side of your band. You're also a bit concerned about this graphical image of your band. Starting from your first album.
Well, I think it's just always been like a good image to play with, you know. It's like it kind of opens up a lot of possibilities, and even things that friends have done with it, it's kind of like interesting. And even with the new title, it was like it's just an interesting thing to play with, you know. So
Thriller, you mean?
Yeah. And so
there was no Michael Jackson.
No. There's no ghost on the record.
Okay, so it's, musically, your band has been like, let's say, on a hunt for a perfect groove since the very beginning of the band. Would you say that this has been the basis of your music, or I don't know, maybe another word that describes your feeling towards music, I guess, would be fun.
Well, I mean, you know, there's so many feelings that you're looking for out of music. You know, it can do so many different things for you. But I think, you know, with six or seven people being in the band, I think the one thing that we've always been able to agree on is whether something has got the groove or not. You know, and all the different styles of music that we've separately gotten into over the years, and you know, your tastes grow and change away from each other. But the one thing that will always unite us is kind of that groove. So it's definitely, you know, and to me, it's like, I can really hate the lyrics to a song or the singer who sings it. If it's got a good beat and it's got a good groove, then all is forgiven, you know? So.
Yeah, but that's interesting. I mean, considering that you kind of started your musical career from a different, let's say, genre-wise, your starts are more into what? More punk music or more rock music, actually. How come that you kind of decided to pursue the groove?
Well, I mean, really, we just kind of came to an interesting point when particularly when I was playing in punk bands, because I was playing this music, and I think we were good at it, but it was like we were playing a music that we weren't interested in, you know. So, and it was like the music that we were inspired by was like made by like black guys in the 70s, and so it's just like, well why shouldn't we try to make this kind of music? This is the music that excites us, you know. To try and play punk or something just didn't make sense anymore. So the punk part for us came more of as a lifestyle, you know, and an attitude. So that's where we were coming from with it. So it was just like, and we felt like that was in line with that attitude. It was like, well, we know we're not supposed to play this music, but who cares? Like, if we're really punk, then we'll just play it, you know?
As long as it feels good, why not do it? But, I mean, genre-wise, your music, I mean, if you like, compare your music to your counterparts, like maybe the biggest name in this sort of scene, I guess, would be LCD Sound System. But compared to them, I guess your music is a bit more adventurous, more like different. It has a lot of different influences, more different than theirs, for instance. But I mean, I guess that's the history of your background that really shows in your music also. Would you say that?
I think you know, there were certain things that they would do that were things like we wanted to do. They were definitely like, you know, there was a reason we got lumped in with them, because there was a similar thing. But I think they had very different things that they were searching for and wanted out of it, you know, musically. So sometimes it falls in line and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, we're different people with really different attitudes about music. And,
also different backgrounds.
And different backgrounds probably. Too. So, yeah. So, but yes, you know, I understand why we're together with them, but I understand what makes us different, you know.
Okay, I hope you won't mind a bit more personal question, but have you like ever felt any resentment against them becoming, let's say, bigger name than Chick Chick Chick?
I mean, I'll tell you the God's honest truth. No. I mean, you know, because it would have been hard, you know. I mean, I was at their show at Madison Square Gardens, and it's like, I guess it's like I never really had that in mind. You know, I had it in mind when I was 10, maybe, you know, 10 years old, but like after I went punk, you know, it was like rock star, the whole thing was like stupid and bullshit to me. So when we started to get famous, it was like, whoa, all right, you know, this is cool. It wasn't what we expected. So, you know, for me to watch him at Madison Square Garden was like, this is awesome, this is great for them. I never expected this for me, so I'm not jealous of it.
No.
Do you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
And also, at the bottom line, they made some really great records, you know, and so... And I'm a fan of music, you know, so it's like I feel lucky because I see it happen to other people and they hate this, that band or that band. And I just feel like it's always better to be open and be able to learn from the other, your contemporaries.
Okay, I don't want to like compare it too much with them or anyway. I guess you probably
it happens,
a lot. But okay, but you've stayed kind of true to your original concept of your band. I mean, you've always been like... You wanted to melt a lot of different genres in your musical expression, but then retain at the same time this dance feeling to the songs. Maybe on later albums, you are a bit, your sound is a bit more polished, maybe. But I don't know. What's your feeling on this?
I mean, I feel like if you had played us. The record that we just made, if you had played that to us 17 years ago, we would have been like, wow, we made this record? You know,
like, you would be like enthusiastic.
It was like this, these were the records we were always trying to make. And I feel like each one of our records feels like, okay, this sounds like a second record. Okay, this sounds like a third one. And this, you know, it's like there's been a pretty natural evolution. And it's. And it's interesting because we're just starting to get questions now, like, well, why don't you still sound like your first record, or why don't you still sound punky like the second record? And it's like, I mean, I think what we always aligned ourselves with was post-punk and not punk. And I felt like the attitude of post-punk was a search for something new, you know? It was a bit artier, you know? And so I think that really the only promise we've ever made to our fans artistically is that we're going to be searching for something new.
Not so much a rebellion.
The rebellion. It's not a rebellion so much as like a. As an attitude towards being free.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is definitely in line in this new record. It's, you know, to me it's like. It feels like a band. Fully. Able to express its creative freedom, you know. It seems like when I listen to the record, it's like you don't know what's gonna happen next, and that to me is, that's the only promise I make to our fans. I don't promise to sound like the Clash forever, you know.
That would be kind of like a barrier.
I don't appreciate the artists who do that, you know. So I wouldn't be that artist, you know.
Cool. But would you say that your step from, I don't know, your first record came out on Gold Standard Laboratories, and then you went to Warp Records, would you say that this made an impact also on your creative side, or?
Well, I mean, to be honest, there was a big step between when we made the Gold Standard Laboratories record and when we made the first Warp record. I mean, a lot changed. We moved to New York. I mean, that was just huge. Moving to New York from a small town like Sacramento was just huge. So it's hard to say. And really, honestly, when we became a Warp band, it wasn't, nothing in our minds had changed, you know? And in fact, probably something should have, you know? We probably should have been like a little more focused on the idea that everybody was paying, that the world was now paying attention to us, you know? And we weren't. We were still just like, you know, smoking pot and you know, trying to get tripped out, you know? Like, looking back at it, I just wish we had like maybe taken a little more advantage of that opportunity. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but,
we were having a good time, we're still having a good time, so whatever, you know?
And that is kind of one of your reasons why you started this band also.
Absolutely.
But you did, I mean, you couldn't say that you didn't make it big, come on. I mean, you were a supporting act for one of the biggest names in rock music in your history. And
but that's not, I'm telling you something, that's not really an achievement. To be an opening band for a big band, it's exciting and it's interesting, but that's, it's like you're playing to a bunch of people who don't like you.
Uh-huh.
You know, so especially with Chili Peppers fans.
Quite a different perspective than what you can read, let's say, somewhere.
Yeah, it's like, and okay, that's always the thing, right, is it looks cool in the press. And they tell you that it's going to make you big, but it doesn't.
It's,
I mean,
because
I remember when I would go to concerts and I was a kid and there was some...
I was excited about the Firestarter.
and whoever opened for Prodigy, then you were like, who is this crap? And you know, that's what a lot of people were looking at. It's like, you know, with the middle fingers and throwing the bottles. But
please stop, let's see the band.
There's like, you know, come on, when are these guys? But you know, it did teach us something and it was exciting. But as far as like, to me, that's not like, that was not the dream, you know?
Okay, let's just make a pause here and maybe listen to some of your music just to, so our listeners will get the picture of what you're about, and then we'll come back, okay? Back in studio with Nick Offer from Chuck Chuck Chuck, talking about his band who will play tonight at a stage in Kino Šiška. We've mentioned that you've been a fire starter to a huge band. The band is Red Hot Chili Peppers, for people who don't know. But anyway, this is not what I wanted to ask you, but you've done some... you had some experience with big concerts. Also, you've been part of these summer festivals, itineraries, I'd say. Would you say, what is your experience? I mean, if you compare these huge concerts before large crowds against those more club events, let's say.
It's just...
Where do you feel more relaxed?
I could do either one. They're both exciting. They're both exciting in different ways. You know, clubs are more intimate. You know, it sounds a little better, and you feel like your sound is more effective to the audience. But festivals, it's like harnessing that big energy can be really exciting.
So it's equally, I mean, interesting for an artist.
And I like that we go back and forth. You know, if it was only just one, I think it would get too boring.
So
but I like going back and forth.
So you mentioned before that you moved to New York, and also I happen to know, or I was informed, that you done your records in Berlin also, one of your previous ones. So you do seem kind of a cosmopolitan band in this sort of meaning, let's say. How would you say this affects in these shows, in your music? I mean, are you sort of people that just can't stay in one place for a long time, or you need this change?
Yeah, it's just hard to get six guys to stay in the same place, I think, you know, and I think that's the reason we learned how to do that early on, so that's been able to keep us a band over the years. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I think Berlin was a big influence in that, you know, allowed us to go out to clubs and stuff. I mean, we couldn't have learned what we learned if we had just stayed in Sacramento. Sacramento was like a great small town, kind of fostered that kind of freedom for us to do whatever we wanted. There was no like cliques or trends. Yeah. We were making it, you know. Yeah. And but it was good to move to a city like New York and Berlin and be able to be smaller and learn from something bigger, you know.
And one of the things I've read in one of your interviews, when you compared Berlin to New York, that the basic difference between the two cities, from a musician's perspective, like you, would be actually in their sound system. Can you say a few things about? I actually like this.
Well, it's just, I mean, America, it's funny because now the EDM revolution is happening in America and sound systems are becoming more important. But I mean, even the dance explosion in the early aughts in New York was dance rock. You know, America's always just been more rock based, even though house and techno started in Chicago and Detroit. It's like it started there and immediately moved over to Europe, you know, and so the clubs and sound systems were more catered to that kind of music, whereas in America it's always just been catered to some guys with drums and some shitty amps, you know. So it isn't as important to Americans. So for us to experience that, just hearing good club music at just a little tiny bar that you would go to in Berlin, any little tiny bar, you would have the kebab stand would have like a kicking system, you know. It was just like, geez.
okay, this venue that you will play today, of course, can't compare to some Berghain in Berlin, let's say, but
it sounds pretty good though. I just came from soundcheck. I think it sounds good.
It would be better than, I don't know.
I'll tell you for sure, it's better than a lot of American clubs.
But would you say, if we come back to this difference between American and European, like this in this dance music kind of manner, differences, would you say that American approach would be, you said that rock is more important in America than dance music, but this has also got to do something with being on stage, being a live presence, like with instruments and stuff, that maybe dance musicians are not that interesting visual-wise as rock musicians. What's your opinion?
I mean, what are those guys supposed to do? They got a laptop and that's about it, you know, and a lot of times it's you know, and now it's like it's kind of switched to the other way. When who did we play with this at some festival in France? We played with Vitalik. And I mean he must have spent thousands on his light show. It was insane, you know. So it was like, whereas before it was kind of easy for us to beat the dance acts because they were just some guy behind a laptop. Now they're catching up by spending all this money on light shows. So geez, it goes back and forth. Plus also, you know, they're playing records, so that always sounds a little better.
But
you
would
like,
say that visual part of the performance on stage is important for dance music.
No, I would not say. I'd say, I mean, honestly, I don't if you ask me, would I rather go see, well, I don't know. there's a lot of bands where I like their records, but I don't really care about watching them stand on stage and strum their guitars, you know? Whereas, like, a lot of DJs, I'd rather go and just hear them, because you know they're going to play good tunes all night, you know?
The time is tight for this interview.
Okay, so. You got everything out you want to say?
Of course not. I have many different questions still prepared, but there won't be just time for them. But anyway, okay, maybe let's say you have been on scene for quite a few years now. Okay, you have been releasing albums not so often, really, for a band that wants to stay in touch with his fan base and stuff. But I don't know, you've done what album every 3 years or
about every 3 years,
like this.
Yeah.
But I mean, you started your career already in the 20th century, if you think of it like this.
Yeah.
Okay, you've done okay. Most of your discographic stuff has been released in from 2000 on, 2001, I think, maybe. But, I mean, as a band that has history, how do you look at your starts as a musician, as a band? I mean, many things have changed in these years.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not so much has changed in 30 years before.
Yeah.
As did in these last 10 years. How do you cope with all these changes as a musician who's trying to make it? I mean, with his music.
I mean, it's difficult. You know, it is like, it's always difficult to survive financially and stuff. You know, we're never gonna be at like Chili Peppers level or LCD level, you know. But I think, you know, we just felt lucky to be on tour in the beginning and to be playing in a basement somewhere to 20 people. We were such good friends and we really believed in this music and we felt lucky to be there then. And 17 years later, we feel lucky to have seen that side of the record industry and seen it when we were just trying to put out a tape and we were just trying to put out a 7-inch and oh my God, we have a CD to, oh my God, a CD doesn't matter at all. You know, it's like, it's been kind of fascinating the whole time to watch it change and it's been exciting. So we still feel lucky to be here, you know? I mean, you know, on a radio station in Slovenia giving an interview, like, that's not what I plan to do, you know? That's kind of wild, and it's wild to be doing it 17 years later.
I never imagined you would do this.
I did not, you know? I didn't even imagine this morning. My tour manager said after soundcheck, you've got an interview, and here I am, you know?
Okay, I hope it's not too much of a hassle for you, but...
No, it's no problem at all.
But, okay, so... I think we are listening to one of your new songs now. So I guess this is what? Boy, girl? One boy, one girl.
One girl, one boy.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we do kind of have to inform our listeners what they can expect from tonight's concert. So what will you play on tonight's venue?
There will be a lot off the new album, off of Thriller, and a couple old ones. But mostly, you know, I always feel like we play the best show when we're playing what we're excited to be playing.
Yeah,
so,
of course,
you know, we'll play a lot of Thriller.
Yeah, so great. So we can expect a lot of new music.
Yeah.
Great.
Couple
cool
hits, but you know, it seems like the new ones are doing well too. So.
Okay, well, Nick, thank you very much for coming here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Actually, yeah, we've been like, listening to your music from the first album on, so we actually feel kind of honored to have you here.
I mean, I'm glad to see the old CDs here. I was like, okay, this guy knows his stuff. Okay, so I'm not just, you know. So, sometimes you show up at the radio station and like, right, who are you? What am I supposed to ask you?
So, okay, this we know. Okay, thank you. Great for having you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hope you have a great concert tonight. Hope a lot of people come and everything will be great and fine.
Cool.
So until next time, I hope also enjoy yourself. Now I will go back to Slovenian language, so...
Okay, cool. Bye.
Dobro, to je bilo to. To je bil pogovor z Nikom Offerjem in zasedbe Čak, ki danes nastopi v kinu Šiška. Seveda, če vas zanima to vrstna glasba, pridite na koncert in obljubljamo, da bo prav gotovo zanimivo. To je bilo to. Tale intervju sem pripravil Božidar. Ostanite še naprej na valovih Radija Študent in pa zvečer se odpravite v kino Šiška. Hvala lepa za pozornost in naslišanje do prihodnjič.
Intervju Radija Študent.